the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But it shall not be so among you, Jesus tells his disciples. But if anyone among you wishes to be great, he must become a servant. And if you are going to be first of all, you must become the servant of all. These words and this teaching, more generally speaking, changed really history, changed the entire trajectory of Western civilization, and I want to get back to those words in a minute. But before I do that, I want to point out that we see in today's reading the church preparing us as we are going through this season of Great Lent, and we're now approaching very quickly Holy Week. Begins actually next Friday evening with Little Compline and the Canon of St. Lazarus. Hard to believe that Lent has gone by this fast this year, but here we are, and we're on the final Sunday before we have the big feast of Palm Sunday next week. And so we hear in this reading that Jesus was getting ready with his disciples to go into Jerusalem for what would be the final week of his life, what we commemorate during this holy season, the upcoming season of Holy Week. And in the midst of this, and in the midst of Jesus talking to his disciples about how he was going to go there and suffer on their behalf, on behalf of the entire world, in the midst of that, notice what the disciples are doing, which led to Jesus' words that I mentioned at the beginning. The disciples were worried who would be the greatest among them. And James and John try to cut to the front of the line and get to Jesus' ear first to see if they can sit next to him in the kingdom, still thinking it's an earthly kingdom, not the kingdom of heaven that we know and that we are preparing ourselves for, but they thought it would be an earthly kingdom. And they make what to us seems such a bold and strange statement, to ask Jesus, "Lord, we want you to do whatever we ask of you." And we hear that and we say, "Boy, that's wrong." But think about how we are, brothers and sisters, in our own prayers. Sure, we may not say that to Jesus directly. We may not say, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask," but we think it. We act like it. We get upset sometimes when our prayers aren't answered the way that we think they should be answered, because we are not praying as our Lord taught us, as we will pray later, right before Holy Communion, the prayer that he taught us that we call the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven," which ends, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." You see, we, just like the disciples, often don't even know what to ask for, and that's why you hear so many times, again and again in our service, "Lord, have mercy." We know to ask for that. We know we need his mercy. But in the midst of all of this, in the midst of Jesus going to do his work on the cross, the disciples are worried about who would be greatest. And Jesus completely changes the way that we should think about power and authority and greatness, by saying, "Yes, I know how it is with the Gentiles. I know how it is everywhere else in the world. That if you have power and authority, you use it to crush people. You use it to show off. You use it to bolster your ego. But among us, among those of us today who are called after Jesus' name, Christians, it shall not be so. If you want to be great, you must become a servant. And if you want to be the first of all in the kingdom, then you must be the servant of all." And of course, Jesus himself sets the greatest example at the end of Holy Week with his crucifixion on the cross. But again, brothers and sisters, these words of our Lord change the way that we think even today. Even the way our society thinks, the fact that we value, that we honor people who are weak, We see people among us in this church today who are weak. And what do? As Christians, we rally around them. We help them get up our stairs or go into the elevator. You'll see people in our church helping someone come to receive Holy Communion. Before the revolution, so to speak, that our Lord Jesus Christ began in the way that we think as human beings, before these type of people were cast out. They were weak, they drug down society, they weren't to be valued. But our Lord teaches us something different. They too are made in the image of God. And beyond that, our Lord teaches us about redemption. About the fact that it doesn't matter what someone has done in their lives, how sinful they have been. They can be redeemed by Him. And we, as His followers, should never write off someone because of their sins. And that's why today, also, on this fifth Sunday of Great Lent, together with this reading, we commemorate St. Mary of Egypt. A woman who, obviously, St. Mary of Egypt, was from Egypt. Which is significant. Why? Because Egypt was the enemy of Israel. Where were they exiled? Where did they go? Where was the Exodus from? It was from Egypt. Why? Because they were enslaved and mistreated by the Egyptians. And so they had been an enemy of Christ's people for a long time, their arch enemy. And yet we see this woman coming from Egypt, accepted by our Lord Jesus Christ in repentance. And now a great saint of our church who's commemorated every year on the fifth Sunday of Great Lent. Even more than that, St. Mary of Egypt was a harlot. She was someone who from a very young age started to sell herself into prostitution. Not as happens with some women because of the situation in their lives and because they don't find any other way to make that kind of money. Or worse yet, they're trafficked by other human beings, one of the greatest sins of our time. But because she enjoyed it, she liked it. That's why St. Mary of Egypt was a prostitute. For no other reason than that, by her own admission, as we heard on Wednesday evening when we read from her life and she told the elder Zosima who met her in the wilderness. Be extremely blunt, and sometimes I think we sort of whitewash these things, not necessarily on purpose, but we think of St. Mary of Egypt as how she became. But it's important for us to understand what she was, brothers and sisters, because if we don't understand what she was, then the end of her story is not as powerful. And so that's why I use this very blunt, coarse language today. She was a slut. Plain and simple, as we use the word today. And you know what happened to people like that in that time? They were shamed. They were put out. You wouldn't allow them in your household, you know, except for when nobody was around and you paid them, as men did. But you wouldn't do that in good company. That's the way the world was. But because of Jesus Christ and His death on the cross, and because of His teaching, that if you want to be great, you must become a servant. Because of that, St. Mary of Egypt was accepted as a Christian. She was allowed to repent. She wasn't just dismissed as scum of society. Forget about you. You're not welcome in our midst. No, she became again a great saint. And that is a challenge to us today as we meditate on her life and on this scripture, brothers and sisters. Because too often our churches can follow the gospel of the Pharisees and not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees would not accept people like that. Many times in Christian communities today, maybe we let these people in our doors, but we look down on them. And they hear this and they see this. and they realize they're not welcome because in their minds, the way they see it, they're not holy enough for us yet. If we ever make people feel this way in our church, shame on us. Shame on us. Because everyone is welcome here. Everyone is welcome here because our God is the God of St. Mary of Egypt. Our God, as we say, taken from the Psalms, is the God who worketh wonders, as we proclaim on the great feast. And he can change this woman who was caught in such a life of sin to become a great saint. Our God can take the least of this world and turn them into the greatest. And it is our responsibility to remind ourselves again and again and again of this teaching. Because we tend to fall back into old habits. We tend to fall back into the way that human beings operate, which is from a mode of being self-righteous, of looking down on other people and their sins. Let us instead, brothers and sisters, learn to be a servant of all. Let us learn to follow after our Lord Jesus Christ, who went to his death on the cross, not because we loved him, not because we were worthy of his sacrifice, but because he loved us. Let us also love our fellow brothers and sisters, most especially those who are in need of God's love. To God be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.